I wonder if you could look back to a time in your life when suddenly you are told you're on your own. The training is over. The person guiding you on your nearby is no longer there. You're on your own. It's time to put in what you've learnt, what you've been told, to the test. And in a sense, this is what's happening to the disciples here at the beginning of Luke chapter 9. Then he, the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Yeah, they've seen the Lord do it. They've heard his teaching on all manner of things. They've seen the way he proclaimed the gospel, the way that he was so caring and compassionate to those who were sick. And they were saying, you go and do it now. You go. And they're given a commission. And they're to go it on their own. Well, not exactly on their own, because I think they go two by two. But they're out there to preach the kingdom of God. To heal the sick. And to drive out demons. A threefold ministry there he has given them. And it must be, I imagine, they must have been nerves. I remember many years ago when I joined the London City Mission, I went up on the Monday. And I was introduced to the man I was training with, who works in Tooting. And we had what we call lecture class, Tuesday mornings, Thursday mornings. I did that for the first 2 years in the mission. And on one thing the lecture class had to do, they had to go to the open airs. And on that Thursday, my first Thursday in the RCM, we all went across to Tower Hill. And you stood there, and suddenly the leader says, you're on. And you suddenly realise, you're on the box. I've never preached in the open air before. I had some sort of message, and off we went. You're on your own. Yes, you're surrounded by colleagues and friends. You're on your own. And what they were to be, these apostles, they were to be the Lord Jesus Christ's ambassadors. Now, you know what an ambassador is? It's someone that represents the nation in other countries. He or she is not there to tell them what they think. They're there to pass on messages and instructions from the government in the UK. And they likewise pass on things from the government in the country they're situated back there. They don't give their opinions. And we are Christ's ambassadors, as were his apostles. And they're not there to give their own interpretation of the gospel, or we think this is the way that we want to do it. No, we do it the Lord's way. What he has told us to do. And he says it quite clearly there, doesn't he? He gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases and to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. These 12 apostles would be granted power to work miracles and also have that authority over evil spirits. Demons were to be cast out and diseases are to be healed. And when he talks there, it says that he gave them power and authority. Firstly, power. That means force. It's the word apparently called dunamos, from which we get the word dynamite. And we all know what dynamite is capable of. And the power, you see, that the Lord's talking about is equals the ability to do something. You are going to have the power to drive out demons. You are going to have the power to heal the sick. You are going to have the power to preach the gospel. And of course you do it with the Lord Jesus Christ, his authority. And basically, of course, the Lord has a ministry, as we know, and people are come to him and listen to his teaching, and some are healed, etc., etc. What he's doing here is giving the apostles this power to perform miracles and to preach the gospel, and of course they will reach, because there's six groups, six times two. That means there's going to be a much wider audience for the message and the ministry. But he doesn't just give them power. He gives them authority. And that authority actually means this. It is the right to use the power. They are given the authority and the right to use the power which the Lord is giving them. And the Lord Jesus Christ here is once again demonstrating how his divine greatness and his compassionate love for people, because he's sending out these disciples to reach more people, to heal more people, to release more people from evil spirits. And he does the same today, doesn't he? People are called to minister the gospel in the open air. I mentioned it this morning in prayers, you know, the work of UBM. Nikki and I hope to go to Canterbury, or we've booked to go to Canterbury this year, to stand in the main square there, near the cathedral, in the main high street, whatever it is, and we're there, along with others, to preach the gospel. We will not have the same power and authority that the apostles have, because we won't have the power to heal sick or drive out demons. Yes, the Lord could use us, but we will have the power and the authority to preach the gospel. And it's interesting, one individual that was included in this ministry here in chapter 9 was Judas Iscariot. He was involved, no doubt, with preaching the word, healing the sick, driving out demons. And yet eventually he betrayed the Lord. People say, well, why did he use Judas Iscariot? Well, we don't know. But the Lord, in his sovereign purposes, allowed this to happen. And also it does demonstrate to us that today there are unsaved ministers, unsaved pastors, unsaved vicars, unsaved missionaries, unsaved church workers, and a lot of unsaved church attenders in today. And sadly, some of them have great influence. And we can see that happening sadly at this time in the Church of England. It's happened in the Methodist Church. It's happened in the Church of Scotland. And so it goes on. You see, these disciples, what we have to remember is they had no power in themselves. It's only as the Lord enabled them. And the same for us. Whatever ministry the Lord's give us, in our own strength and our own power, it's no good at all. But with his enabling grace, his power, and that we can indeed serve him as indeed we should. You see, it was the power of the Lord Jesus Christ that enabled them. It's the power of the Lord Jesus Christ that enables us today. And of course, isn't it true that the more people involved, the higher the number of people who will be reached. Again, today, it's so true. That's why people are encouraged to use these to join the UBM teams on the beaches and the Christian Answer teams on the streets and to join open airs where they are. Because the more you have there, A, it looks better, you've got a crowd. And second, you've got people there who can talk to people who stop to listen to the ministry. And they're not just sent out. Off you go. No, the Lord gives them good instructions there. Because it says to us, it starts in verse 3, and he said to them. They're sent out with instructions to teach and to act in the name of the sender, in his authority. Likewise, people today, whether we're preaching in the church, or whether we're preaching in the open air, whether we're talking to someone, whether doing a bit of door-to-door, or handing out tracts, whatever, we do it under the Lord's authority. And these disciples, it seems, had a twofold purpose. And we have to remember that the Lord rules over all. Now, the Lord Jesus is going to establish his kingdom. And one day he will destroy all opposition and bring his people to full power and glory. But here, they are to preach, to proclaim as a herald on the authority of not a king, but on the authority of the king. Preach the gospel of God to the people. Give assurance to the lost, to challenge. There are so many people today, aren't they? They're just sleepwalking into hell. With no hope whatsoever. Now, they may not want to know. They may insult us. They may call us names. They may even get hostile. But we still have to warn them and preach the word. And we, like them, are to summon people to true repentance. We're not here to sort out society's problems. In actual fact, if people in society became Christians, a lot of problems would be sorted. But we are not a social gospel outfit. We are a preaching gospel group. And we need to remember that today. We need to encourage people, to challenge people. They must repent. Repent and look in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ as the only way of salvation. But of course here, for the disciples, they are to heal the sick. The care for the physical well-being of the people. But remember this, miracles, however great and wonderful they are of secondary importance when it comes to the gospel. All the miracles in the world will not save anyone. It is only when a person truly repents and comes to faith in Christ that they are saved. Yes, it would be wonderful to see people healed. And sometimes it does happen. It does happen, certainly in Africa, that people are, demons are driven out of them. But the task is the gospel. And when you think at the end of his ministry, 3 years ministry, there weren't that many, were there, in the upper room. And I wonder how many people that the Lord Jesus Christ healed in those 3 years actually ended up in heaven. Don't know, of course. But what we do know is all those that truly repented of their sin and looked in faith to Christ on what he did on the cross are in heaven. and those that have done it since will be in heaven. And they are to preach, or another word is to herald. The herald, of course, is somebody who has to deliver a message entrusted to him with authority. Preach the kingdom of God, which is a reference, of course, to the blessing of divine rule. Preaching the kingdom of God means proclaiming God's absolute sovereignty in every sphere, in heart, in mind, in life, in our families, in the villages, in the cities, in the counties, in the nations, in the world, in education, commerce, art, science, etc., etc. The gospel has an influence on everything. And he tells them they're not to take anything for their journeys. Take nothing for the journey, neither staff, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not have two tunics apiece. They're not to take any extra goods. They're not to take any aids to make provision for the future. You see, it's an urgent task they're on, an important task that they're on. And they're to lose no time. No time in making all sorts of preparation. I used to remember in my days in the RCM, I could think of 101 reasons not to go out on the doors, and they're all good ones. But in the end, you go because that's where God wants you, and that's what God's called you to do. And don't lose time. Don't get involved in lots of preparation, because, you know, you can get so wrapped up in that you never even get started. Go just as they are, and then trust in the Lord for their needs. And the Lord, of course, will provide all that is necessary in the accomplishing of their task. The only wealth that they have, of course, is the message that they preach. The message that they've been trusted with. And the power that they've been given. And the authority they have from the Lord. And the fact that they represent the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the wealth they have. Not all the other equipment and anything like that. And when it says there, neither take nothing for the journey, neither staffs. That word staff, in a non-biblical context, is like a shepherd's rod. Or sometimes would use it as a magic wand. Here, of course, it's a traveller's staff. And when it talks about nor bag, a traveller's bag is what we would call perhaps a knapsack or a rucksack. We would recognise that. You see, it would be a bag for the road, into which you would put the things that you need, or you think you might need, for the road. You don't take that. You don't take a staff, you don't take a bag. We're not talking about bread, nor money, and so on. And do not have two tunics apiece. They went out with nothing. And of course they were not allowed to beg. They were dependent upon providence and kindness of friends. And it's so easy, isn't it, to be trapped in worldliness and luxury in our Christian service. It so can be a very grave trap, can it not be? They're not to waste time by looking for somewhere good to stay. perhaps for better lodgings. Whatever house you enter, stay there. Don't matter what sort of house it is, you're in there, you stay there. And then when you leave, you go to the next one. When they find this place to stay on their travels, they must stop there until their work is completed in that place. When considering the place that they receive hospitality, it's not the standard of food, it's not the standard of comfort that's important, but the people desire to hear the news of the gospel. As I say, the spreading of the gospel must have priority over personal likes and dislikes. People will not be able to say they have not heard or had an opportunity to hear anything about the Lord Jesus Christ. All the people that live around this church, they've all had leaflets put through their door at some time or other. They've all had invitations to come here at some time or other. In the past, they've had their doors knocked on and an opportunity to talk about the gospel. You know, not one of them will be able to say to the Lord, "Well, I didn't have a chance. Nobody gave me an opportunity." Because the Lord will say, "Well, on such and such a day, one of my servants, or two of my servants, knocked on your door and you told them to go away. Or you were too busy watching EastEnders. Or whatever it may be." You know, people will be without excuse. He talks there a bit later on, whoever will not receive you, when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet as a testimony against them. The shaking of dust is an act which both confutes and convicts people who reject the gospel. Today, it is a testimony against them, telling them what is to come, and still calling for repentance. It may make the hearers realize the earnestness of the preaching of the gospel. They must, when it is not received, shake the very dust off their feet as a testimony against them. Could imagine, can't you? Knocking on a door up the road and they say, "Go away." And you stand in their pathway to their gate and you take your shoes off and you shake it, the dust off your feet. Who knows? They may never, ever get another opportunity to hear the gospel. It's a very serious thing, isn't it? It's a very serious thing for us that we must be willing to put ourselves out to share the gospel. But what a very, very serious thing it is when people reject the gospel. It serves, this business of shaking the dust from the feet, it calls it there as a testimony against them. It serves as a last and urgent call to repentance. Because as it says there, it is indeed a testimony. It is a symbolic action. If you like, a public demonstration of divine displeasure that rests on a place or person who refuses the gospel. It is indeed a revelation of God's marked disapproval. We see, by rejecting the apostles, or by rejecting us, they're actually rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. When they say to us, go away, when there's a great big sign saying, we don't want no religious stuff to our door, it's the Lord Jesus Christ they're turning away. And of course, the disciples did as the Lord had instructed them. So they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. What the Lord had given them was sufficient for the task for which he had sent them out on. They were blessed, truly blessed, to have the spiritual presence of the Lord with them. And that's true for us today. When we go out on the Lord's ministry, wherever it may be, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, he goes with us. He enables us. He strengthens us. He guides us. He leads us. We are not alone when we minister on behalf of the Lord. Now, no doubt these people, between them, covered quite a large area. And the task of the Christian church simply is this: go out into the world. I mean, the Lord Jesus Christ was quite clear in the end of Matthew's Gospel, for example. Go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I am with you always. If we are engaged on the Lord Jesus Christ's ministry, he will be there with us. And people have done that, haven't they? We have in our own fellowship, we've been so blessed to send out Vicky and Jonathan to Morocco. We support the work of Grace Baptist Church in the radio work. The wonderful opportunities that they have to send programs to Africa, in countries where there's a lot of pain and persecution. And people have gone, and of course, we were talking the other Thursday about Adoniram Judson. Hey, the Lord took him to Burma. And we can read in the history, hey, the Lord has taken missionaries to these places and most of them have left their bones there. Preaching the gospel, calling people to repent and look to Christ. As I say, preaching the gospel is primary and essential ministry for any church that would like to call itself Christian. The Bible and the gospel is at the very heart and center of a church. The social gospel has never saved anyone. It may have given them something to eat. It may have given them a nice home to live in. It may give them the comforts of what you can find in a nice home. It may give them medicine. And all these things are good. But they don't save. There is the need for gospel preaching. But of course, as a church that believes the gospel, we trust, preaches the gospel, we must be ready to involve ourselves with acts of mercy in all sorts and varieties of service. We cannot turn our back on the need of people, but we do it with the express hope that we may one day be able to share something of the gospel with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there is that twofold ministry. Yes, if we are on the doors, it's amazing the things that you can do just to help someone in that situation. Not a lot, not a big thing, but to them it might be. So we do try to get involved. We do help. We do have compassion. And we do pray for the sick. And we do visit the sick. And we do many, many things. But above it all, it must be the gospel that is our motivation. And may that be true. Always be true. I think if it ever wasn't true, we would need to close the church down. Because once you take away the gospel, you've got no reason to be a church. But praise God, the Lord has kept well. Was it 227 years coming up? Which isn't bad. But hey, we need to pray the Lord will keep us focused on the gospel for the future. The preaching of the word of God. And allow all the results, if there are any, with him. Well, may the Lord so help us in these days.